Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, we want to thank everybody to the Transformation Cafe, Transformational Tuesday. Here we are once again. And again, we want to thank everybody for checking us out live. If you've got any questions, we've got a guest chef in the house. We'll be talking about yoga tonight. So if there's anybody out there who's been thinking about it, contemplating the idea of getting finding a studio and getting into the practice of yoga, we've got a wonderful guest that's going to be talking about that tonight. Or if you're listening by demand on iTunes, we thank you for checking us out afterwards. And if you have any questions with the show, please go ahead and get out there with our transformation-cafe.com and send back some questions, and we can have our guest Lauren back out again real quick. So Lauren is, I met her this last weekend with a mutual friend, and she is the owner of Source Studio, a yoga instructor extraordinaire. This girl does all kinds of wonderful things. So Lauren, how are you?
Aww. I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me. Hello, everybody. It's my first time doing anything like this, so if you could please stick those questions with things that I would be able to answer, that would be greatly appreciated. But I'm just happy to be here.
Oh, and you know what? This girl is being modest. My goodness, she's being modest. If you go to Source, SourceStudioCA.com, that is her wonderful website. Got all kinds of wonderful information about the calendar. We've got classes, some of the information about her with her bio, and so there's lots and lots of different things on that. So, Lauren, how did you get started in yoga? And you want to give everybody kind of a summary of just all the different things that you've done and just really learning this practice and what it's all about.
Sure. Okay. So how Source got started is sort of a long story, so I'll do my best to keep it brief. But I really feel that the studio got started by me just being quiet. And it happened with me hearing one single word very, very loudly. So I opened Source Studio on January 1st, 2011, which at the time was when I was going through my Saturn return. So for those of you who aren't familiar with that term, every 28 years, the planet Saturn makes its orbit around the sun, and that is when we really step into who we are. And it happens around the age 28 to 30 approximately, because it takes a couple of years, and that caused a lot of significant shifts that I felt very deeply inside of me. So this is, again, around 2011. We were just entering into the Aquarian age, and if you remember the end of the Mayan calendar and all of the energy that was surrounding that was going on at that time. And with any life transformation, there's a lot of difficulties to go through. So it touches my heart, but I lost my career and my 10-year marriage, which are both other stories. And I had to stay in constant prayer and meditation just to survive. So it was really by God's grace that Source Studio has always been protected and it has always thrived. And it was the beautiful studio instructors. They're all bhakti yogis, which is the yoga of devotion. Whether they taught Zumba or yoga or RIP, they were the ones who held the space for me as I was going through all of this. This is around the time when I was just finishing my Iyengar yoga teacher training at UCR, and I really felt that I had all of this magical information that I needed to share. And I was reading a lot of Abram Hicks at the time, and I remember one night I was quiet enough while reading one of these books, and the word source spoke to me. And I know that had I not been in that space that I was in that night, I would have never heard the word. But the word source resonated so deeply that I could truly do nothing else but turn it into a yoga studio. So also I was studying a lot of Wayne Dyer's work at the time, and he had shared a message that I really held on closely to throughout this process, He had said there was nothing more powerful than an idea whose time had come. And that message proved true and true over and over again because I really had nothing but an idea. I had a few yoga students, and I had the money that I made from teaching classes around town, but I had no business experience, no example to follow, and, you know, all of these people in my life that felt it wasn't doable. So all I had was this idea of Source Studio. And I'm truly grateful because this is something that I teach, is to listen to that inner voice, be quiet enough to hear your heart, trust that it will not misguide you, and to act on it. So that's what I did, Robin. I took the leap, trusting that the net would appear. And after that, I just kept saying yes. I'd say yes to sources, teachers' ideas, yes to the yoga teachings, and I said yes to my heart, is in a nutshell how it started.
Well, that's a good nutshell.
Thank you. I've pulled the story over and over again in my head because there's so much to it, and it was just so magical going through it, even as challenging as it was.
Yeah, and I just really want to praise you and just so appreciate about, you know, I almost want to say ignorance is bliss when it comes to just kind of following your heart and following just that deep inner guidance, that inner sense of knowing that Spirit's holding you, and it's just such a sacred place that you can do really anything. So I really want to thank you for that, because I know when I started my flower shop, Flowers for You in Riverside, California, that the same thing. My mom and I, we just had a passion for flowers. We had a passion for getting it, just creating beautiful things and reminding everybody of just the wonders of creation and having them being out there. And, yeah, it's a flower bouquet, but it's also just so much more. And I think that's the same thing when it comes to being movement and being connected to your body.
Absolutely.
And one thing I really loved about your bio was you were talking about how you really work with the mind and body. And Lauren's not necessarily going to toot her own horn, but she's also got she's a psychotherapist. And I think that really helps on a level of working with the practice of yoga, and then also being able to understand some of the mental challenges and some of the chattering of the mind that can occur when you're doing any kind of a practice.
Yeah, it's all connected, Robin. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about when the time comes is how yoga is not just asana. It's not just poses at all. That's actually the third step of yoga. The first two, when we get into it, if there's time, are the yamas and niyamas, which is that connection to creation, to your breath, and, you know, to your practice, things like that. So, right on.
This could be like a four-segment through the whole month of talking about yoga. My goodness, there's so much stuff and information. Yeah, sure, we can always do a series of shows. That would be really wonderful. So how long have you been practicing yoga?
I've been practicing for, I believe it's 13 years. I started when I was 18, and I started at RCC, actually. I needed to take a physical ed class, and I just didn't want to get sweaty, so I thought I would take a yoga class, first class, really. And not only did I get sweaty, but I fell in absolute love. I'm not a competitive person. I've never been athletic, and so none of those things ever jived with me, but yoga I really understood, and I was fortunate enough to have a beautiful teacher named Erin, who had just got back from India. She was a beautiful young soul, and that's one of the things that's very important when you practice, is going to a teacher that you feel comfortable, because I had tried another class when I was 16, but I wasn't interested. So it also goes back to that Wayne Dyer quote of, when the time is right, there's no stopping it. So, yeah, I've been practicing for about 13 years, and it's infinite. Right when I think maybe I, you know, have a good grasp of the concepts and I'm really living them, then I learn there's so much more. And that was one of my tips that I'll also get into, is to be patient with yourself, because yoga, God, spirituality, there's no end to it. So there's no rush. You're not going to finish anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things that I loved about yoga when I started, and I mean, I can remember being 6 or 7 years old and get my mom down on the floor and doing stretches, and I already kind of was getting familiar with yoga. So, you know, if people believe in past lives, I think I had a past life where I was really involved in yoga somehow. But anyway.
That's exactly
you,
it, yes. Okay.
But with that, what do you feel are the benefits of yoga? You know, why should somebody, you know, pursue the practice of yoga and make it pretty much something that would be something that would grow and change with you as you become a, you know, more mature in your life?
Sure. Well, it's very personal. So I can talk and talk and share, but I can't do the work for you. So the work is karma. It's, you know, every action is an equal and opposite reaction. It's physics. It's nothing like new agey. The work that you put in, you're going to get those results. So they're different from everybody. My one of the beautiful benefits I've just recently learned is to have respect for myself. So I've done tons of practices where I keep scriptures sacred. I do puja, which is offering gratitude to your teachers. I learn and respect the energies of God through the different deities. And all of that practice over and over, it kind of reminds me of the film The Karate Kid, when Daniel's doing the wax on, wax off, and he thinks he's just painting, but really he's learning how to defend himself. So all of those practices taught me how to respect myself. And there's a prayer I do every morning. It's a Sikh prayer called Japji, and I love one of the lines. It says, I cannot be a sacrifice, not even one time. So I've been saying that over and over and over every morning, and finally it resonated with me one time when I really can't, even if I wanted to. I can't smoke one cigarette. I can't have an unhealthy relationship because I cannot be a sacrifice, not even once. And that's one of the things that I've gotten from yoga was I respect myself now. And that's huge because when you respect yourself, you respect others. You respect life. The ahimsa is one of the practices that comes before the physical yoga, and that's the act of nonviolence. So it means you don't kill anything, animals included. So I don't want to get too much off topic, but to be truthful here, everything wants to live, and one form of life is not more important than another form. So yoga taught me to respect myself and to respect everything else. And I can go on and on about that some more if there's time too. I don't know if you want me to talk
or not. I can imagine people that are tuning in and just saying, oh, okay, I'm wanting to be calling this show Yoga 101. So if they're tuning in and they're saying, you know, wait a minute, I thought that was laying down on a mat and maybe moving around a little bit. How does that, you know, transfer into respect and, you know, whether it be for myself or all living things and moving from that direction?
And that's okay, because that was my other tip, which is to be patient with yourself. I just lost my train of thought, but there's so much to it. So you can, one step at a time, learn what feels right with your soul and kind of make it your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
I lost my train of thought on that.
No, that's fine, because I know with lots of things when it comes to yoga, it's really one thing that I think that I've learned over the years is you really have to listen to your body. And when it comes to levels of, you know, not overstretching or overextending yourself, and that there may be other people in the room who are more flexible or stronger than you, but that doesn't mean you need to keep up with them. It's being able to keep up with yourself and what that looks like, you know, when it comes to just the different kinds of practices that would be on there. So what would be something that you'd have for a beginner to look for when they were even just thinking about choosing a yoga studio? Are you kind of catering to helping people where there might be in a beginner's practice, or do you feel like the source studio is actually someplace where people are already kind of familiar with yoga and being able to move into the different classes you have available?
No, not at all. I think that you don't have to be familiar with yoga to come in. We've actually, it's kind of interesting. Source has really been a lighthouse for people. There's been so many, I mean, I can't even count them on two hands. So many people who have come in never had done anything like yoga before, or Zumba or RIFT. Those are the other classes we teach. And they're all teaching now, and they've gone on at least over five people have gone and started their own studios, and we're doing a teacher training coming up in September. So I'm really stepping into the role of the honor of teaching people how to teach yoga. And the studio has just been, even in practicing for 13 years, some studios can be a little bit intimidating to walk into, but Source is so light and so welcoming, and we've just been very fortunate to attract the type of people that are really looking for finding their own truth. So whatever background, whatever body size, We're so diverse, and none of that matters. We have printed on the top of the door from one of our instructors, Tiffany, leave the ego at the door. And that's what happens when people walk in there and they really express themselves. We do a lot of Kundalini yoga, so we sweep out all the old habits and old feelings, and we step into our truths, and it's just a very beautiful place to be in.
Yeah, I love the whole thing about the ego. Are you familiar with what Wayne Dyer says about that?
Right, yes, edging God
yeah,
out.
Yeah, edging God out. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Dyer.
I know.
Yeah, you're edging God out.
I was in one yoga training, Robin, and the teacher was talking about how you don't use the word God in yoga, and I didn't finish that training with him, and I went into Kundalini yoga, where it seems like every other word out of their mouth is God, and it's just a really nice thing to know that God, whatever your beliefs are, God is universal. Actually, the acronym in Kundalini yoga for God is generator, organizer, destroyer, so it's this energy of life, and you can take it in Source Studio and leave it however it applies to you. In fact, I think I mentioned how I started the studio was just from the word Source. It resonated with me with the name of God, but without putting a label on God. So,
yeah, I love that. So we have Kundalini yoga. That's one of the things that you offer. And that's a very early morning practice that you guys have that available. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning or 5:30.
Yeah, that's our sadhana. So we, as teachers, to maintain our practice, we practice early in the morning. They're called the ambrosia hours, and it's just when the world is quiet. So Kundalini is also referred to, Kundalini is referred to as Kundalini. So we get, I'm getting tongue-tied with it. Kundalini is referred to as Kundaluni at times because we get all the craziness out of ourselves. We practice kriyas, which are specific poses for a certain amount of time with a certain intention, such as opening your heart or releasing fear. And it's the yoga of awareness is what it is. And there's just something very special about practicing that early in the morning. And then you have your whole day ahead of you. And it's life changing. I've been doing it for quite some time now. And I've just been the witness of watching these doors open and really getting to know myself more, finding my peace, having all these beautiful ideas in the morning and acting on them. And it's just a very graceful place to be in.
Yeah. And that's actually a free class. So if anybody's listening that would be interested in that. Yeah. A contact number for Source Studio is going to be 951-500-5009. And if they want to go ahead and let them know that they're going to be attending that early morning class. And again, checking out the website,
yes,
which is sourceyogaca.com, is another great place. Yeah, Kundalini was actually the first yoga that I got introduced to years ago, back when I was in my late 20s. So I've been knowing Kundalini yoga now for about 25 years. So it's very, very, very powerful, very gentle,
yes.
And it's a very most people go, wow, you started with Kundalini, that's kind of amazing. But I was actually at the University of San Bernardino it was one of their extension classes that they had available. So even 25 years ago,
nice.
When you think about what was available back then. And how yoga is everywhere now, which is just really wonderful. I'm so glad that it's just something that's
so
out
lucky.
There. That, yeah, we are so lucky. So what other kind of yogas do you have available?
You know what? There's hundreds of styles of yoga, but they're all the same poses. So just with different practices associated with them. And all yoga is good yoga. So we do Hatha yoga. My background is Iyengar yoga, which is doing poses with props for that perfect alignment and protection of your body. And we offer Ashtanga yoga, which is more of a flow, and some yin yoga. All of my yoga is very love-based. I've done a lot of different trainings, and I kind of take a look at the class and feel the energy and just incorporate all of them. But I do use a lot of, like, Louise Hay's affirmations. She's what got me started on my spiritual path. And we practice a lot of self-love. So really being present and taking care of ourselves so that we can pass that on to other people.
And so, what about your power yoga?
Power yoga, that's holding the poses a little bit longer and twisting deeper and things like that. There's probably less relaxation and meditation in the power yoga class. Those are the ones that really tone your body.
Now, do you guys do the heat yoga where they actually turn up the heat and the room's warmer?
We don't. We actually turn the air conditioning on. It's Riverside.
But, well, I'm going to go, yay.
Yeah, people like it.
Because it's hot enough as it is when you're doing all that work, yeah.
It's hot. My first Bikram class, I tend to only take those hot classes when I'm traveling because I like to detox more. And so I remember I was taking my first class in Hawaii one time, and I just, gosh, it's hot in here. I forgot we were in a hot yoga class, and I literally was thinking, they should turn the air on. And then I got back into my surroundings and realized it was supposed to be that hot. And so I'm actually not a huge fan, but it's a great detox, and, you know, to do as needed is good. It's all good.
Okay, that's wonderful. So one of the three things that we were wanting to cover, the three things that every beginner should know. One is to be patient with your yoga. What were the other two?
The first one was to trust the process. So listen to what comes up for you and have the courage, which, again, is that open heart, because let's recognize it takes a huge amount of courage to open your heart and then to act on it. So I started sharing with you the physical yoga, which is basically taught in the West, is the third limb of Patanjali's eight limbs. And we all have, we'll call the limbs like guidelines. So every practice has them. Christians have the Ten Commandments. Buddhists have the Eightfold Path. And the first few limbs of what we practice are the yamas and niyamas, which go into the nonviolence, the self-study. I can't even imagine going through life without studying myself, because if I wasn't able to know myself, then I wouldn't connect with anybody else, and that just seems like a very lonely place to be in. So recognizing yourself in all, I'll share with you more about that. That's one of another yoga rule that we have. But also, Saosha is purity, Santosha's contentment. So through these practices, I've really learned to purify my body, which is including cutting out all alcohol completely. And not all of these things are for everybody. So to be a true yogi, it's no joke. A real yogi is a real warrior. They're very powerful souls. And that's why my first tip is to trust the process, because there's so much that goes into it. So we need to move through it gracefully, taking whatever parts work for you and in the steps, in the order that work for you. Because, again, it is so infinite.
Okay, so we're going to trust the process. And then number two, you had said, was to be patient with the yoga.
Right. I like the saying in yoga, it's practice makes practice. It's not practice makes perfect, like how we normally think. It isn't about being perfect. It's about being graceful. So how graceful can you move through the things that are not meant for you and into the things that are? And you mentioned all my traveling, and I remember I had studied Hinduism in India, Buddhism in Thailand, and the Christ light in England, all in a matter of 3 months. And on my last trip to Glastonbury, England, I was sitting in front of a beautiful spiritual teacher named Lisa Hanna and the rest of the group, and I completely broke down. I was just crying because of all the information I was receiving. I felt that it was too much, and I was getting very discouraged that I would never be able to learn it fast enough. And I was suffering because of that, just because of that state of mind. So Lisa Hanna, she's an angel. She sat me down and she reminded me that I already had everything I needed inside. And she was absolutely right. And just to, again, God is infinite, so there's no end. So to enjoy the journey one step at a time and be grateful for the process and to be patient with myself. That was a big lesson.
And those are wise words. Very
thank
wise
you.
Words.
Not mine, but thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's always, I think, and that's almost just more of a Western philosophy or a Western push when it comes to levels of, you know, get it done and get it done now instead
right.
of allowing the process
so stressful.
And having it be,
mm-hmm.
yeah, having it be something where, you know, I was watching today, it said, you know, it's the journey, not the location, you know, how that goes
mm-hmm.
and being able to enjoy
that's
yourself
it.
And sometimes, you know, the path may be rough, but it's getting to the end of that and knowing that it's going to be a beautiful thing for yourself. So it runs on both directions, depending on how you want to look at it, for just depending on what
mm-hmm.
your journey is. So what's number three?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was so grateful to be in that place in England with some beautiful women that took me there and that were just a huge part of my life now, and that's my third tip, is to have fun. So our spirit is very joyful, and that's one of the main things I love about yoga, that it's through that union. Yoga means yoke, so representing the union of body, mind, and spirit that we've been talking about. We're reminded in our practice of our eternal right to be blissful. So that is a birthright, I've learned. It means it can't be given to you. It can't be taken away from you. And when you connect with your joyful spirit, we're experiencing the qualities of the high self. And it was in England and later with one of my gurus, Achari Sri, that I learned about the universal laws governing all of this. If I have time, the law of karma, which this isn't some weird like new age stuff that I was mentioning physics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So like is attracting like. You exuberate love, you will be with love. If you're angry, you'll be in angry situations that affect your health and so on and so on. So the higher qualities of the universal laws of love, well, unconditional love rather, compassion, forgiveness, to be in peace, those are part of that joyful spirit. And the lower quality is the worry, fear, doubt. They even vibrate at a lower level when I speak them. Those are what take us away from our truth. And that's why we chant Sat Nam in class, because we want to resonate with our highest truths of those qualities. So, of course, in yoga, there's a spiritual side of everything. And when I say to have fun, there's a little bit of karma, which is a little bit of action, work that we have to do with that. So real quick, karma is not about punishment. It's about doing the work and receiving the results is an easier way to look at it. And I'm going to share with mm-hmm. you one more universal secret, mm-hmm. one more cosmic law, and that's one of the Aquarian Sutras. There are five of them, but I'm going to share one, which is to recognize that the other person is you. And this means see God in all. And we need to see God in ourselves and in those around us. And that oneness will lead you to having more fun, because then the lower qualities of jealousy, judgments, dislikes, and things like that are gone, and you're in your neutral mind and you're free. So mm-hmm. have fun is the third tip, but there's a lot of work to having fun. It's the higher consciousness. That gets you
like,
to that place of
it
having
takes,
fun.
It's work to have fun. What?
Yeah.
It's a
well,
twist.
We've got a fun.
Yoga girls are twisted.
Fun...
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry,
exactly.
Robin.
We've got a fun event that Lauren and I and a couple of our friends, Miss
mm-hmm.
Mercedes Bluefeather and Kiyomi are going to be this coming
yes.
Friday night are going to at the Source Studio, and it's really about really tapping into the feminine voice. So we're really inviting ladies to come on out, and I'm going to be doing a little bit of laughter yoga for fun, and start us out with that. It's going to be just a really wonderful collaboration of just a lot of different women coming together with their gifts and talents, and really having everybody feel welcome and being able to be tapping into themselves and to one another into some really wonderful ways to be empowering the feminine voice and just fun and in creative ways. So we really want to encourage everybody to, again, if you have any questions about that, and we are asking people to go ahead and get a deposit to go ahead and get their place. How many people are we going to be able to accommodate on Friday?
Oh, about 20 is what the studio can fit. Yeah.
Okay. So just kind of let
everybody
know
that we're
a little bit limited there. And if this is successful, we're looking to do it probably bi-monthly at a couple different locations. So go ahead and let Lauren know you're interested again. And then the number there is 951-500-5009. So thank you, Lauren. This is wonderful. And we will have you come.
Thank you.
Segments on different things on yoga, because I know that we've had quite a few callers tonight and we've got some questions in the queue, but we just ran out of time. That half hour goes so fast.
It's my favorite thing to talk about, so thank you so much for letting me do that.
Well, and thank you again for being a guest.
I'd love to connect with the callers later if they can email or something like that.
Go ahead and be listing your questions, and then we'll plan on in a couple weeks from now we'll have Lauren back on, and we'll move into a different aspect of the yoga. That'll be
good. Thank you, darling.
Okay.
Namaste.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much, and thank you for joining us here at the cafe.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.